football on Off the Ball.
If it is going to change, it's going to get worse. I do feel we're not there already. We are approaching a kind of a crisis point. Decided to become an international minnow.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
And a lot of fun was had with William Hill on Tuesday, which, if you're Johnny Ward, feels like about 3 years ago at this stage. It's been a lot of fun at Punchdown. This is the Racing Pod, and it's Johnny who's standing in for JD, who was partying with me at Punchdown during the week as well. And Tom Bugsy Malone, how are you?
Yeah, good, Johnny, and you? Well, we already know.
I've been better, but lots of fun. And I should say, and I actually preempted this by telling you that I was going to say this at the start of the show, we are recording this at sort of 1 o'clock on Friday. So you're probably listening now on the radio to tips for horses who've already lost. Isn't that how it goes?
Yeah, absolutely. And at the time of chatting, Jack Kennedy is sort of 1 to 10 to be champion jockey. And, you know, Paul Tennant has probably 7 or 8 favourites to go between now and then. But it would seem to be a serious uphill struggle for Paul to retain that champion jockey's title from here on in. And given the week he's had as well, with a couple of serious hits of the bar.
Well, Paul Townend's going into the Galloping de Champ race, which is one of the last races, and I suppose the pivot race of the week, really. He's just ridden Dancing City to win a narrow finish, 7-4 favourite. So he's going into ride Galloping de Champ. Since then, he's ridden 1-2, 7-2, 15-2, 15-8, 1-3, 13-2, 7-2, 7-4. No victories. So it's been a very interesting.
Yeah, and then of course you have the likes of Gaelic Warrior beaten by Ila Tay Tomp as well. It's been, you know, it's just one of the things. It just goes to show that, you know, people say it's easy. It's one of those things that kind of really gets in my goat about you know, a particular brand of maybe digital horse racing punditry in particular. It's just like, oh, just back odds on favourites. It's easy. They always win. And I don't know. I feel like a lifetime of scar tissue would suggest that no, that it's not the case. And backing racehorses or following racing is hard, you know, and it's just something that can't be re-emphasised enough, particularly even if you are Paul Townend, champion jockey, with a whole host of really, really good looking rides and, you know, traditionally rocking into Punchestown expecting to sweep all before you. And it hasn't happened for him this week.
The first half of the pod each week will be free to air, and the second half will be exclusively for members. So be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join, and you won't want to miss out on all the info. So the first half of the show, we're pretty much going to look at Punchestown, which has happened, is happening, and is to come tomorrow, the final day of the jump season. Second half of the show, we're going to delve into a little bit of Newmarket, because we have the guineas, both the 1,000 guineas and the 2,000 guineas. So the start of the classics at Newmarket. I've never been, actually, and this year I met a guy, Steve Ryder, who's doing a bit of work for Oddschecker, and he's invited me over to stay in Newmarket.
Oh, wow.
Is it on the bucket list, or have you been?
I have been a couple of times. I used to live in the UK. I live quite nearby Newmarket, so it's a fantastic place. Definitely one thing I'd recommend. If you are going, make use of the entire day. They get going early. You know, the first lots are out in the lime kilns from, I think, about 4:35 a.m.
Wow.
So, but the whole town of Newmarket itself is, you know, has crossings especially for horses, and, you know, it's obviously the historic centre of horse racing in the UK. It's spectacular. I would certainly recommend it. And again, it's not just the two race courses, obviously, because of the July course and the Rowley course, but the town of Newmarket itself, particularly in the morning, buzzes with equine life. And of course they have, you know, the Curragh is obviously exceptional over here, but they do have the best probably turf gallop in the world. I think it's the Pete Limekilns gallop. I think it's something like £120 a spin or something like that if you're an external visitor. So it's quite a buzzing equine centre. And I'd recommend if you are going, make use of the whole day and go down and see them, you know, work in the gallops, because it's open. You know what I mean? Obviously the likes of, you know, there are private places like the likes of Moulton Paddocks for Godolphin and that. But the rest of it's open. Like, you can walk around and you can see horses. You might not know what horses they are exactly, but, like, you know, and you will see, and, you know, Sir Michael Stout stables come out, and John and Thady Gosden's, and they're all in their colour coordinated rugs and they're branded up. And, you know, you might, well, not now, but, you know, one of the things was you would see Frankie Dettori or whomever there standing at the top of the gallop waiting to get legged up and do his bit of work. So, yeah, definitely one I'd recommend to horse racing fans. And like I said, just make use of the whole day. Don't just go to the races itself.
Absolutely class. We had a racing panel before racing on Tuesday, live from Punchestown. I really have to give Punchestown a bit of kudos here. Racecourses obviously like when people in the media say that they're great and all that, but genuinely with Punchestown, everything was so smooth this week. It was a pleasure to be there. And it was very, very windy when we recorded the panel on Tuesday, and I actually thought the tent was going to blow down. It didn't, and a few of us tipped Mystical Power in the big race, so we will go through just the big winners on day one. Mystical Power winning was one of the highlights. Banbridge took the William Hill Handicap Chase in at 6-1. A few of us tipped that as well. And Spillane's Tower scored in the grade one. So where do you want to start with this, Tom? There were some great finishes on day one.
Yeah, it's really exciting racing. And just on Punchestown generally, one of the things I do love about Punchestown, and it is, like, it's not Cheltenham. It's totally different. There are opportunities for all. There's cross-country races. There's probably too many bumpers. Maybe they could do a cut down.
I wouldn't disagree.
The card completely, but it's a totally different vibe, and it's a very local vibe. And, you know, I'm originally from down near there. You know, we used to get a week off school back in the day as well to go to Punchestown, even when it was a 3-day festival. That's how old I am, Johnny. Mm. But, you know, and I absolutely love it. And day one, the first couple of days in particular, all of the sort of sticks that have been used to beat horse racing in big festivals over the course of the year so far were irrelevant. We had big fields, you could have an each way bet in a grade one. We had good finishes. We had a multitude of winners. We had UK winners. We had great stories, you know, Georgie Benson winning. Like, and that's what you want, especially given, like, Willie Mullins' dominance is obviously a great thing for Willie Mullins. But, you know, for smaller trainers that have been watching his horses tonk them into the ground all year long, you know, I'm sure it gets pretty boring. To see all these smaller trainers come up, not smaller trainers, but a range of trainers to go and win races over the course of the week so far, it's been great.
There was a great image yesterday of Willie Tristan Davies taking his hat and putting it on after his dad had a winner. But Willie did win with Mystical Power. This was a fascinating race to watch because
Firefox must have traded long odds on a running, and you just feel bad for Firefox a little bit. He's won those horses, keeps bumping into him, but like, Mystical Power is such an exciting horse because so often with these good novices for the last couple of years in particular, it's like, oh, here they go now, novice chasing. This fella looks, he's a hurdler. He's got to be a hurdler, doesn't he?
He's by Galileo out of Any Power, which is an extraordinary mating that you send a National Hunt mare to Galileo. So it was a fascinating range and a lot of pressure on. I'm not sure if Any Power has produced anything since. I think the word is she hasn't really produced anything anywhere near this fella anyway. But I'm looking at the race, I'm like, this horse might want 3 miles. Like,
lazy in the early stages,
yeah,
isn't he?
I'm not sure he could go any quicker though, even though he's by Galileo. And I was like, if this horse could be a stayer, because they went a good gallop, he just had too much toe in the end for Slade Steele, who obviously had to reverse form it from Cheltenham. But I do like this horse going forward, Mystical Power.
Yeah, and
going to get 2.5. Anyway.
Definitely going to get 2.5. And, you know, it just makes things interesting for next year, assuming Constitution Hill continues on and he's all okay from his issues. Look, they seem fine. They don't seem massive. Like, he just got colic. He'll recover from that. He should be absolutely fine. And then, you know, we have... Again, the problem with the schedule at the start of the year, where does he go? He's probably going to have to go to Fairy House, is he? And that means he goes and meets Tia Hoopoe in a Hatton's Grace, or he goes and travels to the UK, takes on Constitution Hill in a Fighting Fifth, or he stays in Ireland and takes on State Man in a Morgiana Hurdle. No matter what happens, it's really exciting for the hurdling division next year, as opposed to what we had last year with, you know, with all due respect, you know, It's So Sleepy or whatever, winning and, you know, State Man doing whatever he wanted. So
it was quite boring.
Yeah, really dull. You know, well, I mean, no one needs to see Constitution Hill and State Man kick 140 rated horses out of the ground. Like, we would rather see them take each other on and minimise the opportunities they have to stay apart. But you'd have to say that Mystical Power coming into the equation, that definitely makes things exciting for next year.
plenty exciting about the William Hill Champion Chase. JJ Slevin had an unbelievable week, but Bambridge, few of us tipped him up on the basis that my attitude to Punchdown was that the ground is basically unlike we've had all season.
Like 100%.
And it was like a different sport in many respects, and it suited. Day one really bore that out. And Bambridge, again, just about went the gallop. Obviously dropping back in trip. Brilliant ride from JJ.
Yeah, and the thing about Punchestown's ground, it just dries so quickly anyway. It's on a quarry. The even if it was heavy on Monday, it could be good by Friday. You know, that kind of way, it just drains so well and it's high above the ground and it's windy. But yeah, this is a great race. And yeah, you feel a little bit bad for Captain Guinness, but you're just thinking, again, it's another factor of Willie Mullins deciding, oh, well, we're going to go and try and win a UK Trainers Championship. So there's no El Fabiolo to possibly scare people away or whatever. Not that Bambridge would have been scared away because he got his ground, but it's all just part of the puzzle. And again, if Willie Mullins next year goes and looks at becoming Trainers Champion once again, you know, it just means more competitive racing for everyone, I would think. Bambridge, lovely horse. You would have to think Fakir Dudari, the other horse, Joseph O'Brien's, who on the opposite end of the scale preferred softer ground, but you imagine he would, if he got any semblance of good in all those 2.5 mile races in Ireland and the UK next year, that's where he would rock up, I would imagine. Well, although that was 2 miles, but yeah.
So I was also making the point on Tuesday on the panel that you know, the concentration of horses with particular trainers, mainly Willie Mullins, is entirely down to owners, right? So it is up to the owner to put his or her horse with whoever he or she wants the horse to go. And in the instance of Spillane's Tower, you've JP McManus sending his son a walk in the park, who's obviously, I presume he's a good looking horse, who is well regarded, steps up to 3 miles one, gets the trip and wins another grade one for a yard that wouldn't have many grade one horses to put a mildly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the last time Jimmy Mangan won a grade one before Fairy House was back, I think, 15 years previous or something in Fairy House in that Paris Gold Cup or Willow Warm Gold Cup, whatever it's called now. It's good, but the one thing is now is that one man has all the best potential staying chasers for next year, or all of this year's novice chasers. You've got Factor File, Corbett's Cross and Spillane's Tower, who, you know, yes, they're amongst different traders, but they are in the same ownership. But I'm intrigued to see how they will kind of bear each other out, or bear that they will be, you know, separated or whatever over the course of the season.
So the day two was Wednesday. I went racing again. Was kind of more of a working day on Wednesday. The crowd picked up from the Tuesday. It was a very good crowd. First of the grade ones went to Dancing City, who had to battle to beat High Class Hero, who I felt emerged with a lot of credit. He really went down fighting, unlike at Cheltenham.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, this is like, again, we always say Willie Mullins will have one that he holds on to a bit for Punchestown, and he was seeing that Dancing City probably falls into that category. He's a really interesting horse going forward as well. And it's just, you know, but again, like you say, in contrast to Mystical Power, with Dancing City, it looks like Novice Chasing is where he's going next. You know, lovely big horse. It's just a kind of symptom of the most popular horses in the sales, really, and the kind of at the big point-to-point sales and things like that. They tend to be those big staying chasers. They're by, you know, the Dr. Dino, Blue Brazel, Walk in the Park, out of really high-class mares. So they just tend to be bigger sorts, or they're point-to-point winners. So that's just, it's kind of just a factor of what's been bought, or the best horses that have been bought. So they just end up most likely shaping like Novice Chasers rather than hurdlers.
Just the 35% strike rate for Jodie Townend in Irish Bumpers this season. And I actually met Nina Carberry that day, and the use of Nina, who's obviously on the political campaign trail now, and she was in great form herself and Ted, and the word used to be back in the day, just back Nina in the bumper. Jodie Townend now, even if she's not on the supposed first string, often they're backed, they very often win, and Redemption Day, we've been running in bumpers, it seems like, since we were working in the Racing Post together.
I know, yeah.
wins at 92.
I mean, the Redemption Day really is a walking advertisement for there should be a cap on the amount of runs you can have in bumpers. How is he only seven?
It's kind of like, what was that line in The Simpsons? You know what it's like to, I was in Family Guy. You know what it's like to be a teenager. You've been playing one for the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's Redemption Day.
William Money was third as well.
I was disappointed in William Money.
Were you disappointed?
Yeah, I thought...
Barry Connell talked this horse up.
Big things of him.
He still finished third in a grade one bumper.
Absolutely, but there shouldn't be grade one bumpers, and we know that too. Mm. But yeah, look, it's a good bumper. He was well beaten, though, and that would be the problem for me. Look, he's an exciting horse going forward, no doubt, but I just thought, given the way he performed earlier on the season and the fact they, you know, deliberately avoided Cheltenham and then missed Aintree as well and came for this, I thought, I just expected a little bit more.
Did you expect more from Gallopin Deschamps, who I will say with beautiful aftertime here, he was my lay of the week. Just on the basis that he'd had such a tough race, and Paul Townend said this afterwards, like, it's very, very hard to come back. It was his fifth run of the season, which itself isn't. Like, see the stars, what did he run in? Six group ones over
six different groups in 6 months. But
his cold was gone at the end, and blah, blah, blah.
The physical toll of a flat group one versus the physical toll of a heavy ground going 100% night and day.
You ride horse at home, and you may not be able to necessarily get the feel that the horse has just gone over the top.
Yeah,
it's very hard. He still rallied to finish second to a very good winner. Fast or slow, great one done for JJ.
Look, the thing is, I love about Gallopin Deschamps is they run him. And you know what? They run him, they let him get beat, they still run him. That is admirable with so much cowardly campaigning of horses this year. And this is going to sound like aftertime as well. I was actually surprised they ran him. I thought he tied up in the last 50 to 75 yards in Cheltenham.
I thought as well.
His action behind just right. Went a little choppy to my eye in the last 75 yards. I thought that's him at the bottom of the fuel tank. Now he'll need a serious feed to get from there to Punchestown. And I was pleasantly surprised that he ran, but I wasn't massively surprised that he got beaten. It just shows the class of the horse. Look, the thing is, you would have to say, if the Punchestown Gold Cup was 3 miles and 1, I think Gallopin Deschamps might nearly have just given him more of a rattle again. He's just such a warrior. But look, no disrespect to Fast or Slow. That is his Gold Cup and Grand National and his big, big day. And like, Shummel Ryan lives not too far from Punchestown Racecourse. It's a very special place to him. You know, he sponsored there. He had his offices just down the road years ago when they were long before they had helicopters or anything like that. And, you know, it's great for him. And he brought an enormous crowd with him that, you know, for the fella, he sponsors the football team, all the football teams locally. He had all the Roscommon GAA lads there as well. So huge for him. Incredible. Investor in the sport, and he seemed to get it. You know, it's good to see someone who has that level of investment still gets an enormous kick.
100%.
Out of it,
you know? I actually thought JJ, I thought the tactics were quite interesting on the horse. Martin Brassel spoke about it. They'd kind of changed tactics a little bit. We're actually running out of time in the first half of the show, so we will rattle through day three, which entailed basically me going with a crowd of lads to the races, having a lot of fun, but watching some horses that I backed not win. Now, I didn't get involved with 1-3 Gaelic Warrior, who was beaten by Yolette Tomp in the Barristan Castle Novice Chase. That was a major surprise. Tiopu, he just did it for Jack in the Champion Stairs Hurdle. He proved that he can handle this sort of ground pretty much as well as anything else. And they were the grade one contests. You know, you see it time and time again at Punchestown this time of the season. Horses just disappoint, a little bit over the top. And to be fair to Gaelic Warrior, for all that he's very good, two of his last three runs haven't been very inspiring.
No, he's certainly not the sort of push button type sort of machine or whatever you want to call him. He undoubtedly has his quirks, but that looked like he was beaten fair and square by Ilite Tom to my eye. I would argue that Ilite Tomp is as easily as quirky as Gaelic Warrior. There's kind of a pair of them in it. Like, you know, but maybe just the softer ground, the better ground brought Ilite Tomp into it. But there's no doubt in his toughness. Like, you know, to go and bounce back so quickly after winning and go and doing that is phenomenal from Ilite Tomp. The thing about Tia Hupo, he's clearly the outstanding stayer. And it's just a question of, you know, what they want to do with him now. I think... he has to run fresh, thing is completely overplayed. You know, even hearing what Gordon said after the Stairs Hurdle, he said, oh, maybe I should have got a run into him. I was probably a little worried. And I suppose Gordon probably got even more worried given so many of his horses kept finishing second before Tia Hupo you know, did the business in the Stayers Hurdle. So I think we might see more of Tia Hoopa next year. And I think he'll win another one or two Stairs Hurdles.
This is the Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we'll be leaving you very shortly. If you're looking for more, including our analysis of additional races at Newmarket and Punchestown this weekend, go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast every Friday with all our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action. Very briefly, give us a selection for the weekend if you have one. I'm going to go Bottler Secret in the big one, the big one for four-year-olds Saturday. If you don't have a selection, that's fine. But give us something for the.
I just think Fallen Angels look is absolutely exceptional. I think she win the 1,000 guineas.
Wow! Yeah, there we go. That'll do. So that was the first half of the show.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.